This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today I'm with
Ewan McLean.
And Ewan, you cycled to school this morning before coming to work, I understand. This is giving us a clue as to who you are and what you do outside work. So who are you and what are you doing?
So I represent a group called Blackford Safe Routes, which is at the moment certainly is a parent subgroup of the James Gillespie's Primary School. And one of the things that we do, one of the main activities we do, is we organise bike buses, which are effectively groups of children which are protected by leaders and parents on the outside to come to school on roads that would otherwise be really quite dangerous. And doing so as a group provides safety and community and all the rest of it. And indeed this morning, even in 50-mile-hour winds, we still had a reasonably sizeable bike bus and some fairly hardy kids doing it.
So you've got, this is primary school children on bikes, any younger than that? Or?
No, it's all primary school, from P1, so we have five-year-olds doing it. We have an inclusive policy, which means anybody that wants to do it, and so James Gillespie Primary School does have a nursery, and were there to be children who were confident enough in their parents' view to do it, we would absolutely include them, and we have a complete inclusive policy, which means even on the bike routes we stop at halfway and we regroup.
I've been on your Blackford bike bus, and it was great fun, if a little eventful at one point. So tell us a little about where it starts from, and of course it ends up at James Gillespie School, but where does it actually start from?
So we start from the big junction, which is between of Charter Hall Road and Blackford Avenue. And the reason why we start there is because probably the most dangerous part to travel in from our catchment area is that particular bit of Blackford Hill. It's just at that junction where a lot of the catchment for the primary school is. And a lot of people want to cycle from school there, but understandably the roads are very scary.
And what it's quite a wide road there, though.
It is
but
quite
it's a
wide road.
Hill, I suppose.
So we start at the junction. And the problem is on Blackford Avenue itself, even though if you go along Blackford Avenue or Kilgraston or any of those roads, as you will find, if you're on your own, the danger is overtaking cars and space and trying to share that space safely and so on. And it can be quite daunting. A lot of parents don't do it because it's a very scary thing to do, so we try to provide some sort of safety. So we start from there and then we move through the Grange on South Oswald Road and go in using the Astley Ainslie, and all the Astley Ainslie staff, I have to thank them very much indeed, because we do it every 2 weeks, and they are incredibly kind and always open up the gates at the top and open the gates at the bottom. We usually have marshals, so I have to have a big thanks to Alan Tennant and Graham Patterson and Sheila Muir who organised that. And we go that way, and then we go up White House Lane, and then at the top of White House Lane with the lights with White House Lane and Strathern Road, the council lights department, they override the lights for the bike bus to be able to go through there, and that makes us all go through as one
so
big group.
So powerful, you've got such power.
I don't know how I manage that at all, but I'm very grateful indeed. So Stuart Finley and Duncan Aitken at the lights, the services, they override that, and that happens every 2 weeks that we do it. And so the idea is we have a lead rider who we actually employ. In fact, I should say, sorry, it's Dean's Properties actually who sponsor us, who made our high-vis vests, and they were very, very generous, and they pay for him, or have done so far at least, and very kind of them to this guy, Ross Crook, who runs our bike club at school, who's an ex-Scottish race champion, I think, and he's very good with the kids. He's extremely good at keeping them in check and teaching them how to cycle well and so on. So he's at the front, and he keeps the front of the group safe. And then we have a guy called Robert Gormley who very selflessly, he doesn't have kids at the school, but he wrote our risk assessment, and he also is involved in the Sheens one. I have to say it's the Sheens model we follow. Sheens started this, it wasn't us, and he wrote that one, he helped us do it. And so he sits at the back, and then I have a trailer which has the kids' bags in, and I bomb up and down trying to help out at junctions and so on.
So on any given Friday, and it's every kind of couple of weeks, I understand that, but on any given Friday, today you had about 20 children, you thought, on another day, would you have double that?
Easily. On when the weather is nicer in the summer last year, we were having over 100 kids regularly.
Gosh, that's quite a responsibility.
It is. Part of the responsibility is we make sure that there has to be a designated parent or guardian for each child. This is not the same paradigm as some walking buses, for example, where you would drop your child off and walk. It's a different thing. We ask parents to cycle with their children. the reason why it's very useful is because if you are small groups of children cycling in amongst traffic, which is overtaking and so on, it can be quite dangerous. In this particular, because of cars deciding they're going to close pass or turn left or an unpredictability, the reason why this works as a sort of way of providing a group is that if the children are corralled into the middle, they're protected on the outside and at the front or the back by confident adults, and we can prevent cars really impinging on the space of the children, so it becomes quite a safe thing to do, and that allows parents who want their children to travel actively to school to feel that they can do so safely.
And you've got some videos and photos and things that you could share, or we could tell people where to find those perhaps so that they can have a look.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Twitter account is Blackford Safer, and I always tweet every time we do it. I tweet some video of some sort, but we have a website called blackfordsaferoutes.co.uk, and it has lots of media on the cycling bus page. It also has information how to set it up, and there's lots of guidelines and so on about it.
So you mentioned Sheen's, and the Sheen School was the first place in Edinburgh that a bike bus was set up, and then you've taken that model and made it into your own, and I think you're spreading the word now, are you not?
We're trying to. Sheen's were definitely the first to do it, so they had a very visionary business manager, Angela, who set it up, and they've got a brilliant teacher, Jenny McGrowther, who also does it with them, and they still do a very good bike bus every month, beginning of the month, which is very numerous, and I quite often go on it because we try not to clash, because we share some of the same personnel, and it's definitely them who did it first. What was interesting was that while they were doing this and getting some coverage, I was trying to leverage some political will for the redevelopment of the Astley Ainslie to try and put safe routes through what is a marked right of way, so that we would have good, safe off-road routes for the kids from that area to be able to walk and cycle to school safely. And that's now been put forward, kicked away for in a few years, and it's not happened.
I suppose that's because that whole area will come up. It's probably going to come up for sale, isn't it? I suppose that's part of your difficulty in
it is, and
getting that pushed through.
Well, yes, indeed. I was hoping that what I could do is to try and get the council master plan, which would then put in the necessity to build. That's still on the agenda, but it's some years away from happening. But what we're doing now is we're providing, thanks to copying Sheen's idea, which Kate Burwell on our committee decided that we should try and copy this, and we set this up. We're now providing the evidence that we very much need this. So it's very clear that every time we do this, it's a very obvious number of people wanting to be able to cycle that way.
And then when you get to school, of course, I remember seeing all those bikes. You've got lots and lots of bike racks there at James Gillespie's, and they were absolutely full.
Yes, indeed.
And the day I was on it.
Since starting the bike bus, they're much fuller than they have been. Anecdotally, we have a lot of stories about people having now been given the confidence to cycle even when the bike bus isn't happening, and people being given confidence to give it a go, and even some adults who previously were worried about cycling that way now being given confidence to do it. So
what next, Ewan? Where does it go from here now that you're a regular fortnightly bike bus? Where does it go next?
Well, we've been very lucky since we did ours, and we published on Cycling Scotland the sort of guidelines on how to set up a bike bus. There are now several others, so there's one in Davison Mains, there's one in Blackhall, there's Castorfin does one, which is excellent, and there's some brilliant volunteers at each of the schools that run these and follow a sort of similar model of how to do it. And equally, I've gone out to help set out one that was run by School Scotland in Wester Hales at the Canal View Primary. So the idea is certainly looking forward in terms of how to grow is to try and make this a more formal thing that's recognised. So we're actually going to the council, thanks very much to Claire Miller, councillor, the Green councillor, we're going to the council on Thursday as a deputation to try and present this as an idea and make it slightly more formal in the council that they should support as an idea, potentially advertising and supporting in the way that they already provide us great support by overriding signals and route planning and perhaps opening some rights of way for this sort of thing, so that this becomes a more formal notion. And to try and promote the benefits. I mean, the main thing here is there are huge benefits to this in terms of the mental well-being of the children, the physical well-being of the children, the community aspect, the health involved, but also, I mean, in general, trying to get fewer single-use cars, journey usages, fewer people driving to school in cars is just massively beneficial all round, and we're trying to promote that.
Suppose apart from the council, there are people like Sustrans, and do they give you some assistance or some help?
They do. Well, we're very lucky we have a Sustrans member on our, who's a parent at the school who helps us with advice, and she comes on the bike buses herself. But also, we've been, as a group, we've sort of branched out a little bit and have been designing some livable neighbourhoods which follow similar model to the Waltham Forest in our neighbourhood. So we've branched out a bit as a group, and we are now, we've designed some livable neighbourhoods which follow a model of the Waltham Forest, which is in London, where the idea is that for fairly low cost you can put modal filters and place making such as mini parks and planters and so on into areas which cut off rat runs and to make areas residential, which make it much more amenable for cycling and walking, and continuous footways and stuff like that. And Sustrans has been very supportive, and we've got the funding and agreement that they would do a feasibility study for that in our area, extending it, and potentially this would be a model for the rest of the city. And so one of our, the main architect of all of this was Ed Hawkins, one of our members, who was very brilliantly went away and designed, came up with a way of how to design this, and we've took it to Sustrans and the council, and we got this funding to do that. So we're branching out in that way, and what I hope will happen is that then it become neighbourhoods, so more residential neighbourhoods become much more walking and cycling friendly, and what will happen is that people will be encouraged to engage in active travel themselves much more so than taking cars.
And I suppose the council introducing 20 mile an hour has helped all of that, even being looked at.
Without question, the 20 mile an hour limit has made a big difference. And I mean, I think all of the evidence from elsewhere in Europe, where there are cities that are much more livable in this sense, one the progression that tends to happen is that you, first of all, you reduce the speed limits, and that allows you to then build out pavements and take away some places, some space. You'll be able to change the bend radii, for example, on various things, so that the pavements become bigger, and it's possible then to take some space away from cars. And so so the progression in which these things happen is, yes, it's almost a necessity that you lower speed limits, first of all. So I'm massively 100% in favour of having done that. Mm-hmm. Very grateful to council for that.
Good. And of course they have their cycling budget. And it's probably fairly important to say that all of you who are involved with Blackford Safer Routes are actually just volunteers and just doing it for the good of your own kids.
Well, yes, I mean, every one of us is a volunteer, and every one of us works full-time at something else. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair to say that for all of us, we have a notion of community well-being, and I think that that's epitomised in the bike bus itself. Not just the health aspect, but it's the fact that everybody is outside, and in the summer months, certainly when there's lots of people, it's a really joyful experience to be with a load of kids who are chatting and having fun, and having a nice time getting to school in this way. So and it brings a sense of community. And the benefits from that are not just my own anecdotal sense that this brings about a sense of community, but there are instances where, because of the bike bus, where we have this notion of a collective responsibility for a group of children, a collective responsibility communally for the children and for everyone, that in fact people have been recognised, and that things have happened, and that people have helped us. So sometimes with incidents, for example, that have happened at the school, people have been contacted, and because the community has grown and we've become know each other, particularly if people on the bike bus, we're very supportive, and people have joined together in that way.
Good. So you're creating a wee community all of your own, really.
Well, I'd like to think it spreads and this becomes a general, everyone is a community outside. And
so you do keep in touch and let us know what happens after the Transport and Environment Committee next week. And but keep in touch and let us know. So when's the next bike bus then after today? That would be the...
I think the next one is the 6th of March.
Friday the 6th of March. That's when people should look out for all you cyclists.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
Thanks very much for speaking with us. Thank you so much for listening to the Edinburgh Reporter podcast. Listen out for more episodes coming soon.